our gathering right now. Philippians chapter 1. This is Gospel Prayer is the title. This is part 2. We might actually go a third time. I was actually thinking and praying about this earlier. Battery's dead in that one, so I'll stay right here. Think with me, the most godly person you know. And I'm talking about somebody who you know. I mean, you really know. It's not like Billy Graham or somebody on TV, but I'm talking about the most godly person you know. These are people you know that pray regularly. These are people that truly do celebrate who Jesus is. And you might not know them really well, but think about that. The most godly person you know. And let's just say they walk up to you and just said, I was just praying for you. In fact, I regularly pray for you. And that would be a blessing, right? That's good. I like that. I like that they're praying for me. But even more than that, hopefully your heart and mind isn't just kind of warm, like, oh, that was nice. I really like that. But what are you praying for? I mean, are you praying that God will kill me? I want to know what you're praying for. I mean, the content of it is very important. I need to know what you're praying for. That's going to be helpful. So then you might ask, oh, that's good. So when you're praying, like, what are you praying for? And today you actually get the opportunity to experience something like this. Here's a very, very godly man who's praying for people in ancient Philippi city there. And he was praying specifically for them. And the good thing we have is the content, what he was praying for them. He mentions earlier in chapter 1 that he's thanking God for them every time he remembers them. He's praying for them a lot. But then when we get to verse 9, we get to the content of what he's praying for. So it's almost like Paul the Apostle invites these people into his prayer closet. When I go to bat on behalf of you before the living God, this is what I pray for. This is what I'm about, and this is what I want God to see do in your life. So let me just read Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. It only comes through Christ, to the glory and praise of God. There's the content. This is what Paul prayed for. Now if that person that was praying for you said, you know, this is how I pray for you, that your love would abound more and more with all knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and they go through that, would you be done listen to that going, oh, thank you, that is great. In fact, if I could ask you to pray for anything, that's it. Or would you be thinking, but you know, I have this job interview this Thursday. I'd really rather you pray that for me. And those things are real and we should be praying for. But of all the things that Paul says, this is how I pray for you. He raises this to the top with strategic emphasis, and we can learn a lot from it. In fact, there's so much to share with you. Let's just work through this together and may God give us ears to hear. I have a burden for all of you. I really want you to get what God is saying. And I want you to get what God's saying, not Dave. That's why if you have a Bible, I invite you to look at it. Let's work through this. Paul's prayer here, that their love would abound more and more. It's my prayer for you. This is what I'm telling you I'm praying for. That this love you have is abounding more and more. It's growing. Now, let's just pause for a moment and unpack this just a little bit. When Paul is praying for them to love more, this is not him writing a nice little Hallmark card with pink hearts on it and little arrows going through it. He's talking about supernatural biblical love. Not natural. Not what some of you have experienced with a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend or with children. This goes well beyond that. That's there. There are affections, and praise God for them. But it goes well beyond it. In fact, biblical love, supernatural love, let's throw some words attached to it. It would be self-forgetting. I like that. I mean, I don't, because it's not easy for me to do that. To be honest with you, I mean, this week was really... I'll get to it more a little later, but... God really exposed some good things in my own heart. And I know I love a lot, but I love me a whole lot more than I should. And I'm afraid I'm with a bunch of people like that. supernatural of a self-forgetting. So when I'm interacting with you, it's not at all about me. I don't care if you think I'm good or bad or ugly or whatever. When I'm done, I just am caring and concerned that it's about you, that you're encouraged, that you're drawn closer to Christ, that you're experiencing more of Him. And whether or not you liked what I said or not, or how I dressed or whatever, doesn't even matter. Wouldn't it be great to be free to have that kind of love? Another word, self-sacrificing. So it's not just that you call me and you're having a bad day and I have the opportunity, but I hear that you're having a bad day and I go to you. I mean, that's one example. We could give many. I'm actually denying myself. This is my life. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to say no to that right now, and I'm going after you to show you love. Self-sacrificing. So ultimately, the love is so pushing me that it doesn't matter what happens with me. It's about you. Selfless, we could attach to that. We would absolutely have to say it's active. This is not passive. It's the kind of out of your comfort zone kind of love. Pursuing after other people. Tending to people who are unlovely, annoying. And when I say that, a lot of you are like, yeah, that's right, unlovely, annoying. But I'm talking about the people that are to you annoying and unlovely. Because we can all say, yeah, look at the impoverished, the homeless, let's go give them some money. But what about those people that are constantly just wearing on you? That kind of a love. Now, that's why we say, when Paul is saying, I'm praying for you. By the way, let me just say, every one of you want that love, either just to experience it. I wish everybody would love me that way. Or hopefully, if you have the Spirit of God in you, I want to be that. And by the way, isn't there some role model in the Bible that did this? Anybody? This is like 2-year-olds will answer right here.
Jesus,
absolutely. All about self-forgetting, self-denying, sacrificial love. And God's intention, even for you right now, if you're a believer, is that you would be more like Jesus. And what you're learning today, it's that your love would abound more and more. And I prayed that for you this week. And I've learned from this. I want to keep praying that for me and for all of you. So let's work through this a little bit. There's assumptions that we have here. Paul assumes that they're already showing some sort of supernatural love. Because he's saying, I want your love to abound more and more. So there's already evidence that the Spirit of God is working in their life. And they are. They have given out of their poverty to help the needy. You read in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2 about this church in Macedonia, which is the church in Philippi here. They had already, you look at the bleakest situation that you can be in with finances. I mean, I don't know if food's going to come tomorrow. And this isn't a place where there's no welfare, there's no church even to help you out. And they saw a need in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church was being persecuted, and it was going rough for them. So out of their poverty, they gave abundantly to help out this church. That's self-sacrificing, right? In fact, another thing that I found interesting is, if you go to chapter 2, you don't have to, but verses 25 and following, this church, which was pretty young, it's like a 10-year-old church, and there are no other local churches around there, they sent one of their best leaders off to help out Paul. So you read about Epaphroditus. This church, one of their best leaders, we love this guy. We want you to minister to us every day. Can you just walk with me, Epaphroditus, so I can be like you and grow up in you? So here's this radiant, encouraging, wonderful leader. They hear, Paul, he's got needs. Epaphroditus, you go. We'll be okay. I mean, that's self-sacrificing as well. All evidence of the work of God in their midst. Now, imagine even a church like ours and a church in America having that conversation over sending Epaphroditus. We hear, Paul's got this need. He's in jail. He needs some stuff. He's being persecuted. This would have been a great time for them to get rid of some cantankerous members of the church, right? Paul's got a need? Well, there's Joe over there. Nobody likes him. Let's send him along. But what they do is they think, no, we're not going to take the bothersome ones. We need to care for them. Love. We need to love them. We're going to give one of our best. You, Epaphroditus, we need you. We'll miss you. But you go after and you minister to him. They commissioned one of their best to send off to help Paul. So they, in fact, this kind of radiates in chapter 2 when Paul says it. They look not just at their own need, but the needs of others. The need of Paul. And they sacrifice to send him. So Paul prays that this love that they already have would grow. Now, by the way, let me just say this. This love I mentioned earlier is supernatural. This is not natural. If you are not a believer, if you are not a Christian, that's a big, broad word that needs to be defined. If you have not experienced your life coming before God Himself, recognizing I am a sinner, I have no warrant in your kingdom, there's no way I could ever get to heaven. But then experiencing the blood of Christ being shed for me and Christ taking my place, and I'm trusting in that, and I've been born again, I've been made alive in Christ, I've experienced new birth, there's change in my life. This is the only way you're going to get this kind of love. It's God implanted, God wrought love, supernatural. I can't manufacture it. And Paul assumes there's evidence of the Spirit of God working in you because you already have this love, and I'm praying that it will grow. Another thing Paul assumes here is that they haven't arrived here. I mean, of all the churches, if you are into the New Testament and you read a lot of it, you'll find that a lot of these little, what we call epistles, these letters, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, Galatians, Corinthians, a lot of them have some heat to them. Paul is all over them. What are you guys doing? You're a church. You're Christians. And he's hard on them. The church in Philippi, he loved these people. Just read verses 1 through 8. I love you guys. I have the affections of Christ. I want to be with you guys. But they were imperfect. Even in their self-sacrificing love, they hadn't arrived. So praise God that He caused them to be such a loving group of people. But you need more. You still need more. So here's an example. If you look in chapter 4, verse 1, you have two ladies named here. We know they're ladies because of the gender tags in the Greek language. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Synecdoche to agree in the Lord. Now, Paul doesn't say much there. He goes on to say, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. These two ladies had an ongoing unresolved conflict. In other words, this beautiful church in Philippi, this wonderful church that you would want to be a part of, to see this love and action and this unity and humility, there's actually a problem. There's this problem. Now, I thought about this week. Imagine you're in this great church. So here I am. I'm a part of this church, Philippi. I mean, 2,000 years from now, the church is going to be talking about us. And I've met the Apostle Paul. I actually have his autograph. Well, I don't know if they did that then, but they actually had interaction and relationship with Paul the Apostle. And your church history, your church is going to go down in church history as one of the few that actually has a book of the Bible named after you. Well, at least the location, the church in Philippi. And the only entry about you is to say, stop fighting. You go down permanently in church history as the one that couldn't get over yourself and make peace with fellow family members. How many of you know somebody named Synecdoche or Euodia? Yeah, not anybody. And so they have this blight here, and all that just to say that this church, we're looking at it and we can get these romantic ideas. This is a beautiful, wonderful church, but they had problems. And Paul's saying, I got to pray for you that this love you're already showing would actually just spill over more and more. And by the way, Eutychy, whatever their two names are, you guys need to get along. Church, help them out. They hadn't arrived. They had some issues to deal with. And Paul's praying that God would help them grow more and more in their love. Now you say that. Paul assumes those things. Let's just stop right now, Park, and just say this is important about love growing more and more. If there's anything you could do, and as I'm praying for you, and as I'm even affected this past week and things God did in my life, everything else just needs to fade. And if there's one thing that we could be after, would be this. I mean, the whole Bible is about this. Okay, God is love. The very nature of God is love on display. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Out of all the things to pray for, this is what Paul labored over. It's emphasized here. It's ultimate. It's at the top of the list. This is so very important. And if you have ears to hear right now, may you hear this. Not just for this church in Philippi, who is actually doing pretty good. If you say, I am a Christian, that is, I am actually putting on paper that I am a Christ follower, And then of all the things that you can grow up in, love would be one at the top. For Jesus, it was important. Here's what Jesus had to say about love. This is from John 13 and John 15, a couple of passages. Jesus, the words of Jesus himself, direct quote from the mouth of Jesus Christ. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. Jesus said this, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And again, when we're saying love here, it's not the, oh, hey, how you doing? How's your work? It's good. But it's that, I mean, that's, we want to do that, right? Yeah, we still want to do that. I'm not condemning the casual, nice chit-chat. But it's more than that. It's deep, self-forgetting, self-sacrificing. Jesus, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. So Jesus commands it. Okay, so right there, this is not optional. For you to be a loving, could say you're a Christian and not be loving, it's not, it can't happen. It's not to happen. Jesus is saying you must do this. And then he sets the standard high. You heard me read it, right? Love each other as I've loved you. Oh man, why did you have to say that, Jesus? Just stop with the love already. And now he's setting this standard so high. I'm calling you to love like this. As I've loved you, you are to love one another. And then we even read in those passages, Jesus stakes his own reputation on this. My name is going to go throughout all this world, and it's important that people hear my name. And it's by this that people will know you're attached to me. By this, people will know you actually follow me. By this, people will actually understand who I am by how you love one another. By how you love one another. So Jesus, pure Christian love is important to Jesus. Paul, who wrote to the Philippians here, he also mentions the same theme in many other epistles. One of the most well-known, in fact, once you go there, 1 Corinthians 13. This is one of those wedding passages. If you've been to a wedding, you've probably heard this passage read. And just so you know, when we get to chapter 13 in Corinthians, there's no organ playing, there's no minister, and there's no white tuxedo. This is not in the context of a wedding. Although it's a good thing to read at weddings, it's actually in the context of this, the church. Verses 1 to 3, I'm not going to read it, but basically the argument is you could be really impressive in some specific areas. You could be super duper impressive in some spiritual things. Like knowledge, like speaking ability. But if you are super duper in those areas and you don't have love, it's absolutely worthless. I mean, you've completely lost all credibility. Then we get to verses 4 to 6. This is what supernatural, God-implanted love looks like that Paul is emphasizing here. Oh man, there's so many ways we could read this. So let's just read it in the context of the church. This is how we're to live together. Love is patient. One way we could read it is through the opposite. Love is patient. It's not impatient and grumpy. Love is, well, we're not going to, that you guys play around with that this week. I'll just read through it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. Oh man, how many marriage arguments could be done away with if we just read 1 Corinthians 3:5. It is not irritable or resentful. Verse 6, it doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. That's what love looks like. That's what we're to be after. John, another apostle who's writing God's word to us in 1 John, he basically says, supernatural love is an evidence that you're a believer, that you're born again. In fact, 1 John says, if you don't have this kind of love, you're not a believer. On the contrary, if there's evidence that this kind of love is flowing through you from your heart, and there's action to it, an attitude, it can only come from God. It can. So this is only, this is God's doing. He has saved me. It's proof that I've been changed and the Spirit of God is at work in my life. So you're getting this? This is important stuff. If by the way, if you leave today and there's not some just word of God that has struck you to go after love more and pray for it at least, then we're missing it completely. And I've either failed you miserably or you're just dull of hearing, and may God have mercy on you. This cannot be overstated. We need to abound more and more in love. We need to. I want this. Just a brief sharing, and I don't need to get into too many details, but this past week, and I've shared this with the elders, I shared it a little bit in our Sunday school class, God broke me in some significant ways. He was doing heart exposition on me and exposing areas in my life that were painful. Through some reading I was doing, through some circumstances that I experienced, I just saw some things that definitely needed repentance and faith and growth. And I can tell you, it was a horrible time those few days, particularly a couple of nights that were just bad. But as I worked through them and as I was bringing these before God, as I experienced His grace and mercy, oh my goodness, the fruit is sweet. And my heart is just beating this more and more. And I believe that a lot of that happened for you today so that you can say, I want this. I'm standing before you saying, I want this. Personally, I want love to abound more and more. In fact, I've even thought I could stop right now and probably for the rest of the time just confess sins that I've done as a pastor. Just repent before you all publicly that I have failed you, because a lot of what I've done in my life is, it can be duty. It's not driven by love. It's not what we're after here. I want this. And I want you to want this. I want us to journey together on this. This is a body of believers that we're on this. We're pilgrims together working through this. And so I want this, and I want you to want this, and I want us to just join together and work through this and experience God's grace here. I want chapter 1, verse 6, see in Philippians there, to be specifically applied here. So go back to Philippians. This is what I want. And this is what Paul couched his prayer even in, is his confidence. Chapter 1, verse 6, that God, who in great love for me and for us began this work in my salvation. In other words, I've tasted His grace. I've experienced His unbelievable kindness. He's awakened me to my wretched, pitiful self, but then gave me Jesus, and now I'm forgiven and cleansed. So He began that. But now I want it to be working in me day by day, hour by hour, until the final hour, to be more loving. That's the specific application that I had. That God, you began this work, and I want you to be working in me. But right now, what I really want is that you would make me more and more loving like Jesus. Out of all the areas of weakness in my life, so many of those would be overcome if I would be more self-forgetting, selfless, and denying myself in love. Right? Isn't that true? Amen. Look at all your weak areas. How many of those would just be gone if you loved more? All these selfish ways and things that I do, and how much of it would be gone if I just grew more in the love of Christ? So now here's the question, and then I see by time we're going to have to go into this a little bit more next week, Lord willing. We'll see what God does. But let's not leave you hanging here. How do we do this? How then? So I want this. I want you to want this. So then what are we going to do? Just say, well, good luck. Go into the week. Try to be more loving. Oh, man, we would fail 2 minutes from now. How do I grow here? I have good intentions, but I know that it's not going to... It's good intentions. I don't want it to end with good intentions. I want to grow here and pursue after it. How is it then? Well, it's supernatural. I can't just push a button and get it, right? I can't do it. I've tried. I want to be more loving. I want to respond to Bobby better and the kids better and you guys better. But I can't do it. I can't will it. I can't just resolve, okay, I'm going to be more loving this week. In fact, I can't even resolve to act more loving, because eventually my heart's going to show off that was just an act and I really don't like you right now. I mean, that's the reality. I can't do it. So if I can't manufacture it, because it's supernatural, how do I grow here? Has God provided means, avenues, channels in which I can grow? And hopefully you all say, yes, He has. Because what's Paul doing for the church to grow? Man, we assume this so much. Pray. What does Paul do? This I pray for you, church, that your love would abound more and more. And then he goes into more, which we'll have to get into next week, Lord willing. Pray for it. Now, 2 weeks ago, what was the sermon topic? Quick. $5 to the first person? okay, I don't have $5, so I won't go there. But it was on praying. We started this last week, just the importance of prayer and challenge. Remember the challenge? If you're not praying regularly right now, just take 5 minutes. Try to pray 5 minutes a day. We're not going to rehearse that sermon again, but think of it this way. If God is the source of this love, if He is the one who can change me and lead me into this, then I should just ask Him for it, right? I'm going to the source. If I need wisdom, I go to the smart guys. If I need money, I go to the bankers. If I need whatever, I go to them. Right now, I need more love. I'm not what I should be. God, forgive me, but help me. Help me grow here. God loves to bless His children, right? Yes, He does. He loves for us to grow up in Him. So let's ask Him to do this. I need this. I need this. So if I want this kind of love that's self-denying, self-forgiving, it's not natural, think about this with me. Be encouraged by this. This was helpful for me. That right there, if right now in this time and God's working in your life and you're like, yes, I want this, and get what you're wanting. This is crazy. I want to be self-forgetting. You're nuts. Nobody wants that, right? I want to be self-sacrificing. So if you want that, that to me is an evidence that God is at work in you, and you should rejoice in that. The Spirit is moving. He's giving you this desire. Now give me more. Give me more, God. So why not take that and ask Him to help me grow in it? Now, let me just close with this. We have barely scratched the surface here, but we'll do this. Big application. Pray Philippians 1:9a. That's how we determine what that is. Pray that my love personally would abound more and more. And then don't just be selfish. Don't be loving even in that prayer. Pray for my family, that our love would abound more and more. And then not just that circle, but pray for the church, that we would be a people whose love is abounding more and more, as Paul did. But so commit, make God, I want this, I want you to want this, and if you're wanting it with me, let's pray for it. But then prayer is never to be passive. It should be followed up with faith-driven action, right? Right? Otherwise, let me give you a couple examples. A prayer request comes up. Joey. Joey's a guy who's really discouraged right now. I hear about this. Somebody tells me, hey, you know Joey? Yeah, I know Joey. He's really struggling right now. Oh, he's my brother in Christ? Yeah, he's his brother, but he's really struggling. Okay, I should pray for Joey, right? Yes, okay? I should pray for him. But then I should go after him to encourage him, right? Maybe I'm the answer to that prayer. God, bring encouragement to him. By the way, I'm going to do that. So I could say, pray for Joey. Okay, pray for him. And then I see Joey and, hey, what's up, Joey? And that's it. And I've really not done. So my prayer, I'm praying for him. And then I'm looking for ways in which maybe I'm a part of answering that. Let me give you another example. Say you're weak in some spiritual discipline. Say it's Bible reading. You ever have those times when you're just not coming, it's not clicking, you're not reading your Bible as you should? You're struggling with motive. I just wake up in the morning. Honestly, it's a big book. It's kind of hard to understand. I want to read it, but I open it up and here I'm in Jeremiah, and I'm struggling. I don't really want to. Shame on us. And I'm not really getting it. I'm not really understanding it. I'm not sure what's happening in Jeremiah or wherever. So if I prayed, God, help me here. Help me to understand and want to read your Bible, but then never open my Bible. I mean, that's that passive praying. It's not driven by faith. I'm just hoping God might snatch me and change me or whatever. And so then I pray that, and then I just, okay, God, I don't want to read your Bible. Forgive me. That's just my heart. I'm being honest with you. I don't want to read it. So give me motive and help me to understand it. And then I open it and I start reading it, believing God's actually going to answer that prayer. So let's say that we're praying for God to grow us more in love, which I'm assuming that's going to happen this week. When I finish praying, shouldn't I be expecting some opportunities to do loving actions? And then actually, I might not want to do that, but I start doing it and more God warms my heart. So here's the direct pastoral admonition. Pray that love would abound more and more in your life. And then pray believing and look for opportunities, because God's going to give you opportunities to be stretched outside of your comfort zone kind of love, self-sacrificing love, self-forgetting love. Let's pray together. Lord, we we want to love more. And we know, I think we skipped over it even today, just the reality that ultimately we want to love you more. We are so easily distracted, so adultery-minded with our, as it says in James, if you're friends with the world, you're enemies with you, God, that I'm spiritually adulterating, straying, being unfaithful because I love other things, and forgive us. That's no small label applied to us, and we confess it, and we just say, please help us to love you more. This week, pursuing after you. So we begin by praying that our love for you would abound more and more. We also pray that our love for others would abound more and more. Give us, even right now, we're going to sing a song and we're going to leave, and we're going to have opportunities to stay, target people, express loving actions and words. Allow that to be. May this church immediately find your spirit working and encouraging. So may our love abound more and more so that we exemplify and show off Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.